This morning's scripture comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds and power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we come to you this morning, hoping, needing, expecting to hear a word from you. God, I ask that you use me in spite of myself and my imperfections to boldly share this good news. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Amen. I love the story of Pentecost. Pentecost is the event also known as the birthday of the church, as Pastor Will shared earlier, where Jesus fulfills his promise and sends the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God, to rest upon each of the disciples. The Spirit of God gives them the gift to proclaim the gospel in native tongues instead of the language of the dominant culture. Of the people who were in attendance, the immigrants, the refugees, those who were inhabitants who had come from other parts of the region and were now living in Jerusalem. I love the imagery here. The Spirit is not the white, soft, gentle dove that we have read about in other scriptures. Here, the presence and the activity of the Holy Spirit is like the force of a mighty wind, a verb not a noun. The activity of the Holy Spirit is mighty and moving, descending, empowering. This activity, this verb activity, is the beginning of the making of the church, of equipping God's people to share the gospel to the far and the near corners of the world so that all can hear and experience the activity movement of the Holy Spirit and continue the cycle of stretching, loving, living in Christ. I love stories like this. I love miracles like this, testimonies like this, because it shows how wide and how deep, how big God is. They speak to the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, to God's desire to equip God's people with tools and resources, with both gifts and grace. This time, when I studied this story, however, another aspect of the story rose to the surface for me. In addition to noticing that Jesus fulfilled his promises and the prophecies by sending the Spirit to the people, in addition to noticing those who spoke God's word in different languages, I noticed not just those who proclaimed God's word, but I also noticed those who heard God's word proclaimed. Those who came from different lands, from different upbringings, those who had different backgrounds had one thing in common. They recognized the gospel when they heard it. And the hearts of many upon hearing the gospel and hearing God's voice were transformed. Well, this gave me pause. In order for us to recognize the voice of another, not just to hear it, but to recognize who it belongs to, we must have heard that individual speak many times before. We recognize who it belongs to because we've grown accustomed to their tones, to their use of language, to the fluctuation in their voices, to the way that their words are spoken. We have spent time with that individual. PhD candidate Julian Plante Habert provided research that illustrated that over extensive time with those around us, humans have a sophisticated sensory memory. It gives us the ability to record and later recall vast amounts of speech, including contextual information about what is being said and how. The researcher found that study participants could identify the voices of their loved ones, those whom they loved, those whom they had spent time with, those whom they communicated with often, with 99.9% accuracy after just hearing 4 syllables. 4 syllables. A child in the womb can recognize its mother's voice at 32 weeks gestation. Ears are formed on average at about 4 weeks. So 7 months of close contact, of hearing, of listening to the mother provides babies with the gift to recognize their mother's voice with startling accuracy. It is easy to conclude then that the people in the town recognized God's voice when it was spoken because they had heard it before, because they had listened to it before. Scripture tells us the people were devout Jews. Devout is defined as having or showing deep religious feeling or commitment. For these devout followers to hear God's voice and recognize its authenticity meant that they had heard God's voice before. They had studied God's word. They were close to God. They turned their heads in God's direction when they heard it. The inhabitants of Jerusalem knew God was speaking because they had been up close and personal, intentionally up close and personal with their parent. These sheep knew their shepherd's voice. I imagine that the shock was not hearing the word of God on that day, or even that it was being shared. Jesus and his disciples had shared God's word for 3 years of ministry. The shock was that it was coming through different channels from different people in different places and different spaces than what they were accustomed to, than what they were invited to. If the word of God had been proclaimed in their native tongues of these immigrants previously, well, then they would not have been surprised. If people other than the usual expected people had been known to proclaim the gospel in this way, there would have been no shock. They would not have been taken aback. But these people gave pause because the uncommon was happening. The abnormal was happening. The unexpected was happening. The gospel was reaching further than it had before. It was stretching further than it had before. It was including more than it had before. Certainly the people sharing the gospel to more people, expanding the gospel to more people, to more spaces, to more places, stretching regional zones, stretching comfort zones. Well, they must be drinking. They must not be in their right minds, because surely they must have been influenced by something or someone to make such a mistake as to stretch the reach of the gospel, adding more seats to the banquet table, allowing more people to hear, to receive, to understand. Well, that just had to be a mistake. What a shift of power to put the word of God into the hands and the hearts of the people of God. When they had become equipped and included, they realized that they can reach God for themselves. Those in power can no longer dangle God on a carrot or wave the Spirit on a stick to get people to submit to their definition of religion. When the gospel reaches their hearts, they can speak to God for themselves. They can connect with God for themselves. Well, exit the hierarchy, exit the political constrictive agenda of the middleman. The fact that the people heard the word of God is the focus here. The fact that God reached out and reached to and reached with different people from different lands in different ways is the focus here. The fact that the people understood God's word and recognized it even when it was delivered in different ways is the focus here, because they knew God. And to recognize God is to know God. To know God is to turn toward God, even if, even when God comes, when God speaks through unconventional sources from different directions. To recognize God is to know God. Our society tells us that authority comes from just one direction. Our church tells us that only certain people with certain pedigrees, with certain backgrounds and income brackets can share the gospel. That is what the wide church tells the people. And for far too long, the church has told us that only certain people with certain pedigrees and certain background and certain income brackets get to hear the gospel as well. When we decide who gets to proclaim the gospel and who gets to hear the gospel proclaimed, we not only limit the people, but we limit God too. We limit God when we try to do the equipping instead of letting God be God. We limit God by communicating the lies that God cannot, that God will not use anyone or anything as God sees fit. You see, God has used murderers and philanderers and cheats and adulterers. God has used prostitutes and liars and legalizers and tax collectors. God can use anyone or anything at any time, at any place, because God is God. And on the day of Pentecost, the people heard God's voice in an unexpected way, by unexpected people, at unexpected times, at an unexpected place. You see, God speaks every day to every person. Imagine how many times God uses people around us to communicate or proclaim the gospel that we just don't hear. Imagine how many times God uses people around us to share love and joy and peace and hope that we just don't receive. How many times do we fail to hear the gospel proclaimed or embodied because we assume the person delivering the good news isn't fit, isn't bright, isn't light, isn't right enough to do so? Far too often we ignore the promptings of the Spirit because God doesn't fit inside the box that we have designed. Well, on the day of Pentecost, the people were open and available and ready to hear God's word. And they heard it when it was spoken and recognized that it was authentic. Not because who delivered it, not because of the time of day or even how it was delivered. The people recognized God's voice because they knew what it sounded like. They had heard it and they'd studied it and they'd prayed into it. God's sheep knows God's voice. God's sheep know God's voice, no matter where it comes from. You see, it's not about who proclaims, it's about who equips. It's not about who testifies, it's about who empowers. Church, we have to stop thinking so small. Many of us can testify to hearing God's word in strangers, in unknown and unexpected sources, because you see, when you know God, it doesn't matter who proclaims the good news if we're open to receiving it. And good news is just that, good news. When we know God, we know when God speaks, and we know when God is not speaking. I'm going to repeat that. When we know God, when we know when God speaks, we also know when God is not speaking. And if we know God, when we know God, we seek God in those deep and those dark places. We expect to hear God in the spaces that nobody talks about, because it isn't about who's proclaiming. It is about who is equipping. When we know God, we know that God can use anyone to proclaim the good news. The question is, are you listening? The question is, are you God's sheep? Are we God's sheep? God can use the immigrant and the refugee to deliver good news. God can use the poor to deliver good news. God can use the sick to deliver good news. God can even use the racist to deliver good news. God can use the atheist to deliver good news. God can use the outcast to deliver good news. God can use the legalized to deliver good news. God can use the I'm just spiritual to deliver good news. God can use the marginalized to deliver good news. God can use the hopeful to deliver good news. God can use the hopeless to deliver good news, because God is God. And who are we to say or to judge otherwise? If we don't know God's voice when we hear it, do we know God? If we know God, we are God's sheep, then we will recognize God's voice when it is spoken and when it is proclaimed. The birthday gift is priceless and precious, regardless of the package that it comes in. When we are out of touch, we expect God, we seek God in just one way, in just one form, in just one direction. We seek God in our time, in our measures and increments. We want control. We need God in a box, in our box, nothing more and nothing less. But when we are in touch and up close and personal, constant and consistent with God, then we are familiar with God's voice, no matter whatever the source. We know that God is bigger than the messenger. We know that God is bigger than the deliverer. We know that God is bigger than the instigator, and God is bigger than the minimizer. The shepherd is indeed bigger than the sheep. This is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my slaves, both men and women. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls out the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's sheep know their shepherd. God's sheep know the voice of God wherever, whenever, however it comes, or whoever it comes through. Do you know your shepherd's voice when you hear it? Whoever shares it, whoever seeks it. The shepherd is bigger than the sheep. Amen.